It's Weekend Edition on Michigan Radio, your NPR news station. Good morning, I'm Rebecca Kruth, and joining us now is Michigan Radio senior news analyst Jack Lassenberry with a look at some of the region's top news stories of the week. This week, Larry Nassar was sentenced to what will basically be life in prison for sexually abusing women and girls under the guise of medical treatment. The sentence came after 7 days worth of testimony from over 150 victims. Within hours of the sentencing, MSU President Luana Simon resigned. The next day, the state house started an investigation into MSU's handling of the case. The state attorney general says he plans to investigate the school. The NCAA says it's also opened an investigation. Jack, in some ways, the sentencing felt like an ending, but my sense is that things are just getting started here.
Yes, I think that had President Simon resigned earlier, of course, if they'd taken action earlier, they might have been able to forestall some of this. But it's very clear that Michigan State has been misrun, that you've had neglect by the board for a long time, neglect of their proper responsibilities. And this nightmare may continue, which, of course, is not a good thing for Michigan State or their efforts to recruit or fundraise. But at least they're moving on now, and we'll just have to see how long this all takes. And it's probably especially unfortunate that it happens in an election year when some people may be tempted to use it as a political football.
The Michigan Court of Appeals says Flint residents can sue the state over the water crisis. The state argued that residents missed the six-month statute of limitation for suing in the Court of Claims. That's the only court where the state itself can be sued. But the Court of Appeals says the state actively hid what was happening from residents, and they filed within 6 months of the state finally admitting the drinking water was contaminated with lead. Jack, speaking of scandals that just never seem to end.
You know, there's an odd parallel in that Michigan State is claiming that the same thing applies to the women who want to sue for what Nassar did to them, that the statute of limitations is up. That remains to be seen how that will go. But in this case, it's a big victory for people who want to sue the state over Flint. But it's not a final victory because the state could appeal in the Michigan Supreme Court and that could be reversed. But right now, I suspect you'll see quite a flurry of lawsuits.
John Conyers III has filed paperwork to run for his father's seat in Congress. According to reports, Conyers filed the paperwork to launch a campaign on Wednesday. His father, former U.S. Representative John Conyers Jr., stepped down back in December over sexual harassment allegations. He denies those claims. The elder Conyers actually endorsed his son to take over his seat during the interview in which he announced his resignation. The younger Conyers is in his late 20s. He's never held an elected office. What do you think his chances are?
His qualifications are absolutely zero or non-existent. He has no qualifications to be in Congress. But there are two Conyerses in the race. It's a very famous name, and Michigan likes dynastic names. They like Kildees to succeed Kildees, and Dingles beget Dingles. But there are two Conyers in the race. It's a very diverse district. It's quite possible that somebody else, it's quite possible that someone who isn't even African-American could win the Democratic primary. It's a solidly, the most solidly Democratic district in the state. No Republican has any chance here, but it'll remain to be seen if both Conyers stay in the race. Now, Ian Conyers, the other Conyers, the state senator, has vastly more qualifications than John Conyers. But again, we don't know how many people are going to be in this race finally. It's going to be fascinating.
The State House has adopted a bill to ensure Michigan taxpayers can continue to claim the personal income tax exemption. The bill fixes a mismatch between state and federal taxes caused by the federal tax overhaul. The bill got support from both sides of the aisle. However, it does not have the support of Governor Snyder. That's because it more than offsets the federal tax changes. He's warned lawmakers against adopting tax cuts that could be budget busters. Jack, why are the House and governor at odds here?
Because the governor's not running for re-election, and many of them are. And it's very tempting, especially if you're a Republican, to say that you delivered a tax cut or you prevented people from a tax increase in an election year. Now, the governor's absolutely right. The state doesn't have enough revenue. This would create untold problems down the line without giving people very much money at all. But he may be reluctant to veto it because the governor was absolutely humiliated earlier this month. He vetoed a bill, actually two bills involving sales tax and selling your car. And of the 90 Republicans, 89 voted to override his veto. I don't remember anything like that ever. So he may be a little reluctant to veto this. It'll be fascinating.
All right, Jack. Well, have a good weekend and enjoy this slightly warmer weather that we're having.
Just don't spend too much money, Rebecca. Governor Snyder wouldn't like it.
I'll try. Jack Lessenberry is Michigan Radio senior news analyst. He joins us Saturday mornings to review the week's regional stories. You're listening to Weekend Edition on Michigan Radio.